Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors, wherever you may be disrupting. Welcome to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, committed to disrupting your automatics. Today's show is episode 117.
Ooh,
says that voice. And it's called Brothers and Sisters. You can catch all 116 previous episodes on Podomatic and on iTunes. Just search for Dudes of Disruption. And yes, you are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics and a committed leader disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity so that everyone, and I mean everyone, gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics, and personal development. I run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you want to know more about our men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We currently are taking a service trip to Haiti at the end of March.
All right.
For the Hearts in Haiti School, we've raised Sam. That's, by the way, Sam Leibowitz, who is the conscious consultant.
I know that, dude.
Yeah.
Sam, you trickster, you.
You have to keep it fresh, right? You have to keep it fresh.
Got to keep it fresh. So the Dudes of Disruption Men's Group is supporting the Hearts in Haiti School. We're raising $25,000, Sam, to build a new library for scholarships. 23 of us are taking a service trip down there at the end of this month. If you want to know more, again, about our men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We also run a social action.
You're keeping everybody in suspense. So how much did you raise so far?
Oh, no, I said $25,000.
You've raised all 25,000?
We've actually, I think we're about $500 off.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Thank you. We have an event this Thursday, March 8th, in Long Island.
Ah.
If anyone wants to donate or come to the event, email me again at coachnick@coachnick.com. We also run a social action group, a political social action group called Cocktails with Conviction. It's like-minded people who want to make a difference and stay on the court while having fun. Related to politics. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Email me again at coachnick@coachnick.com for more information. So today's show, Sam, is Brothers and Sisters. And I wanted to have the show because much has been written about the impact of fathers and mothers, especially mothers, I would say, on the development of a child and on of a human being in their early childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that would make sense.
Of course.
Those are important figures. I also believe, and this is the case I want to make during our episode today, that the relationship of a sibling, a brother, a sister, has just as much impact on us as individuals on both a conscious and unconscious level. Research shows that a child's sensory perceptions of siblings occurs as early and as often as one of your parents, your mom or your dad. And so therefore, I think this would be a very important relationship to explore. As it relates to who we are, who we be, how we operate in the world, how we navigate through the world.
Right. And a lot has also been written about birth order, you know.
Yes.
That, you know, who is the first child versus the second or the last child.
Yes.
And how that actually shapes personality. And
absolutely.
It's pretty amazing if you
absolutely.
Read this, how accurate it is.
Absolutely. So, Sam, we start every show with a quote to help set a context. I believe this quote will help to do that. So here we go, folks. In some ways, siblings, and especially sisters, are more influential in your childhood than your parents. In some ways, siblings, and especially, this author says, sisters are more influential in your childhood than your parents. This is a professor. Her name is Deborah Tannen. I think it helps to set a context, really, that says siblings are just as important as your parents. And the disruption, Sam, is that siblings, that some, the disruption is not to take the sibling relationship for granted.
Oh,
and secondly, the disruption is to actually use the sibling relationship, regardless if it's a brother or a sister, or if you have both for that matter, is to actually use that relationship to practice. to practice how you operate inside of relationships, to notice what triggers you, to notice what excites you, to notice how you're being or who you're being, to use those relationships to then help you and support you in navigating on this journey called life, which is going to present many, many different opportunities, many, many different people, many, many different situations. And so understanding those relationships with your siblings and using them to learn so that you can then practice, I think is critical to your success, both at home and at work.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, you know, our relationships with our siblings, they're our first socialization.
Yes.
They're the first ones we know sort of outside of ourselves, you know, before we get to school, before we get to any other kind of group settings.
Yes.
It's with our siblings.
Exactly. So I'm going to share a lot of research, Sam, because I think it's important to bring some credibility to this conversation around the importance of the sibling relationship to our success both at home and at work. So studies have shown that siblings are important sources of advice, support, companionship throughout our lives. There's a sociologist, Lynn White and Agnes Reedman. They found that 2/3 of adults claim that one of their siblings is their closest friend, or in fact could be even their best friend. Mm. And what they also found, which again I think is really important, which would be the opposite, if you will, to some degree, siblings can also be a source of conflict, as they are often the people we compare ourselves with. They're the people who we may have rivalries with. They may be the people who know what buttons to push and when to push them and how often to push them, right? And again, in those instances, we can learn so much about ourselves that we can then apply to other relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, I would be remiss to not share that I have a sister. Mm-hmm. Her name is Anna. Mm-hmm. And I met Anna for the first time at my house. So she was born.
Oh.
She was brought home by my mom and dad. I had been staying with a cousin during the birth, if you will, you know, while my mom was in the hospital. And I had gone to school that morning, and they were throwing an informal party. You know, the Greeks are always looking for any excuse
to have a party.
To have a party, yeah, right? And this is a pretty good excuse to have one. And so there were lots of adults and friends and other cousins and so forth that were there. And I remember walking into my first home, the home I was born in, and obviously my sister was born in, and she's sitting in the couch, right? She's sort of buried in the couch because she's obviously a very little human at this point.
Right.
And there's pillows around her to sort of probably protect her from falling, or protect her from big brothers like myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember walking in, and my mom said, "This is your sister, right?" Mm-hmm. And you know, this is your sister, Anna. And I remember the first words out of my mouth were, "Is that it? Is that it?
Is that it? That's all?"
and it's as if my mom is thinking, really? I just went through nine months of pregnancy. I just went through whatever how many hours of labor, right? And this is what my eldest son has to say. I really believed in my mind that I was going to have – I was 7 years old. We have a 7-year difference. I really thought that I would have a grown-up. As silly as that may sound, I really thought that I was going to have a grown-up. Sam, how about you? You have siblings?
Yeah, I have an older brother and an older sister.
Okay, great.
And so I was the last
one. So you're the baby.
I'm the baby.
Okay.
And they'll never let me forget it.
Got it. I got it. Now you mentioned birth order.
Yes.
There's lots of books on birth order, lots of studies on birth order, which we recommend that you take on. In the world of birth order, to your point, Sam, each of the folks who are born within whatever the sequence is, does make a difference actually.
Absolutely.
In how you operate in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the oldest or eldest,
okay.
And so often, not always, obviously, often the eldest of a family takes on a more seriousness about themselves.
Yep.
They feel a sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Right, to take care of others. Mm-hmm. Often they, because of the oldest, especially if you have siblings who are born, you know, within a year or two or three afterwards, often they're left to, on their own many times, mm-hmm. to fend for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they become very independent also. Mm-hmm. And again, that has its pros and its cons,
sure,
right?
Sure.
In your case, as the youngest, what might you say is a characteristic.
Well, the difference is with the youngest, it's also like the parents kind of chill out by the time they get to the
Fair enough,
child.
Yes, yes.
So they're not as intense or as hyper and stuff. And so the youngest also, there's less expectations in a way.
Yes.
There's more freedom.
Yes.
You know, the youngest tends to be more the rebel, whereas as the oldest is more conservative, the youngest is more liberal.
Yes.
You know, as the youngest, and again, you get babied, and sometimes there's some jealousy both ways.
Sure.
But yeah, definitely not conservative, definitely not the quote unquote responsible one.
Yeah. So, what I might also say, Sam, is again, I'm not saying this is the case for you, but one of the things you mentioned is, hey, by the time my parents had me, right, you know, they were less rigid around rules. So as the youngest in a family, you might actually, you know, you may be more of a rule breaker, or you may have less of a relationship with deadlines, let's say, or with the formality.
Yep.
Not good or bad, right?
Right.
But again, it's important for us to understand those kinds of things.
And at the same time, my older brother and older sister were both very bright, very smart. My brother, you know, he skipped a couple of classes in school. He was a chess master at a young age.
Right.
A lot of comparison being done.
Yes, absolutely. And that you have to live into.
Live up to, but me being the rebel, or quote unquote the black sheep of the family,
right,
would always go in the opposite direction.
Yes. One other important note about birth order, because it relates to my sister, is that in the world of birth order, one of the things they talk about is that even though my sister is technically my younger sister, right, as far as sequence, right, I came first, she came second in our family, because we have a 7-year difference.
Right, that's a big gap.
What they say in the world of birth order is that, you know, somewhere in that 6 to 7 year difference, that person, in this case my sister Anna, she becomes actually, she starts to operate like the oldest child as well, because there's such a big gap, right? Think about it.
Right.
By the time I'm in college or out of college, she's in junior high and high school, having an entirely different experience.
Absolutely.
On her own with my parents. So again, that's an important element to understand as well.
Yeah. And in my case, my sister's 4 years older than me. My brother's 8 years older than me.
Okay.
So with an 8-year gap, it's also kind of hard, at least I think in modern society in the United States, it's hard to have really a close relationship when you have such a big gap.
Yes.
Because, as you said, you are going through such different times. And I remember as a kid, like, I did want to kind of hang out with my older brother.
Right.
But, like, when I'm 8, he's 16.
What
16-year-old wants to hang out with an 8-year-old?
Right.
So there really wasn't much of a connection when I was a kid,
unless he wants to make you do errands. I guess that would be one reason to hang out with an 8-year-old.
Right, that's about it. Yeah,
that's about it. Right. So again, folks, the disruption here is to reconsider and reconnect with one of the most important relationships, called your siblings, and that through this sibling relationship, regardless of where you are. You're close to them. You're best friends with them. You haven't spoken to them. You speak occasionally. You're completely different people. You live on different coasts. You live in different countries. Wherever you may be is perfect. You can learn so much about yourself inside of that relationship. So one of the most influential studies, Sam, on the importance of this sibling relationship was conducted by the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And the study tracked 300 men for 75 years, starting in the late 1930s. So for 75 years, starting in the 1930s, basically through the 40s, 50s, etc., all through the early 2000s, this Harvard study tracked 300 men. And what they found was the following. 93% of the men who were thriving at age 65 had a close relationship to a sibling in their early life. Interesting,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Interesting, right? The study also found that poorer relationships, relationships that were not as strong with siblings before the age of 20, could be a predictor. This is going to be interesting. Could be a predictor of depression later in life, suggesting that the longer we can sustain close sibling relationships in our adulthood, the more it can benefit and protect us emotionally. What they found was those with positive sibling relationships report, this is really fascinating, report higher life satisfaction, higher mortality, and lower rates of depression later in life. Also, what they found was that in times of illness and traumatic events, siblings provide emotional, social, and psychological support to each other.
Right.
I know, for example, my dad passed away, now it's about 21 years, and he passed away from cancer. And I remember it was a challenging time, obviously, right? Because he was ill for a period of time. He was then in the hospital for a period of time. And I remember at one point that, you know, my mom, who had been there, you know, at his side during those months, she just got she emotionally broke down. She physically broke down, and she ended up being in the hospital. Ooh. And I remember, you know, my sister basically and I had to tag team, right? And I went to the hospital in New York to be with my dad that day, and it was during a big snowstorm. This is the summer. This is the winter of, I think it was the winter of 95-96 here in New York City, which, if you look it up, was huge. It was a huge, and that plays into what I'm about to say. So it had been a hard winter physically outdoors, if you will.
Right.
And now my dad's in the hospital. My sister's in the hospital in Queens with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I remember my sister and I, at the end of the night, it must have been after 10 o'clock, we get home to my parents' home. We're starving. We're emotionally depleted. And guess what? There's 2 feet of snow that we've got to now clean. And I remember the two of us, and this may sound simple, but this is the power of a strong relationship. She said, you know what? You get out here. You know, you shovel out here. I'll go inside and make the food. And afterwards, when we had our meal together, we really connected and just shared what the experience we were having. And I'm sharing all that because having that kind of relationship allows you to have the resiliency to deal with anything that life throws you, including the goodies. I mean, they're all goodies, obviously. You know, to throw whatever you may get confronted with, whatever you may be contending with.
Right.
When you
or
have
whatever
those
you
relationships,
want to celebrate.
Whatever you want to celebrate, you can celebrate it even greater. You can even you can celebrate it in a way that's where you're present to it, because you've been filled up, and you get filled up by a relationship like that.
Right. An important thing to also keep in mind is that the relationship between siblings does not necessarily stay the same.
Yes.
There are many instances where as kids, maybe you didn't get along, and as adults, you end up getting very close.
Absolutely.
Or vice versa.
Absolutely.
When you're young, you may have a very close relationship with a sibling, but when you get older, for whatever reason, you drift apart and suddenly you're not so close.
Absolutely. There's another study by Brigham Young University that shows that close sibling relationships defended against depression better. So it's actually confirming the Harvard study that I shared a few minutes ago. So a close sibling relationship defends against depression. It lowers the risk of delinquency and promoted pro-social behavior such as kindness and empathy. What do you think about that?
That's interesting. Very interesting. I mean, I know that for myself, you know, when by the time I got to high school, my sister was in college, and my brother was already away at graduate school.
Right.
And she had decided after taking 1 year abroad in Israel she wanted to, what we call make Aliyah, to become an Israeli citizen and go through the Israeli army. And I remember she came back and said to me, like, I hope you don't feel like I'm leaving you alone. Because now from, like, as being, I guess I was 15, 16 at the time.
Right.
No, probably younger. Probably 14, 15. Now I'm the only child left at home.
Right.
And my dad actually passed like a couple of years, like a year later. So very much like growing up in a household where there are two other people around.
Yes.
Two other little ones around. And now all of a sudden there's no one around.
Yes, exactly. So the question for the podcast episode for our global tribe of disruptors would be, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, you know, 10 being, you know, you're in love. You've got this amazing relationship. 1 would be, oh, I forgot I even had a sibling, right? How would you rate your relationship with your sibling? How would you rate on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how would you rate your relationship with your sibling, or if you have, obviously, like in your case, multiple siblings with each of them? And how can you raise your score by at least a half a point? You know, what's one thing you could do? What's one thing you could say? What's one thing you could share that would support you in raising your score by half a point. Mm. And this is not, you know, the question is less about being in judgment and rather looking at this as an opportunity because this relationship is so important. Again, our siblings, I believe, have the greatest influence in developing our skills and shaping our sense of identity. I mean, they are the people, obviously, again, separate from our parents and then a little later our teachers. They're the people that, especially in our early childhood, we hang with the most.
Right. They're the ones we socialize with.
Yes.
We don't socialize with our parents. Our parents, when we're little ones, they're like gods. They're like, you know, the ones who provide for us, feed us, everything else. But our siblings are the first other in our life in a way where it's like, oh, there's another person. Oh, I have to think about somebody else other than myself.
Right. And that's why I love that study from Brigham Young University that says that those who have a closer relationship with their siblings often it promotes pro-social behavior such as kindness and empathy.
Right.
Because when you have that kind of relationship, something different is possible, right?
Right.
I mean, listen, my kids argue over, and I think I may have shared this in a previous episode. Again, we have 116 previous episodes, which you can find on iTunes and Podomatic due to disruption. In a previous episode, I shared how my two boys, I've got two younger boys, they argue over this one chair at the breakfast, you know, lunch, dinner table, right? At our dining room table. And see, in New York, you can't really call it a dining room table. That's why I've got it. It's sort of, you know, you put it anywhere it fits.
Fits, right.
Right? So that's why I'm calling it the breakfast, lunch, and dinner for those who are outside of New York City. And they're fighting over this chair. It's kind of like a like a Captain Kirk Star Trek kind of seat, right? It's really an office chair that we've pulled over to our table. And what's fascinating about that is it's teaching them how to negotiate.
Mm.
It's teaching them how to share or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's teaching them how to make requests. Mm. So, for example, my little one, for example, will just take the chair without asking. And so that creates an opportunity to have a conversation called, well, if you're going to use that chair where normally the older sibling is using it, you might want to make a request.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to ask a question. You may want to look for ways to enroll him. Mm-hmm. For the older one who's always in the chair,
mm-hmm.
why not share? Mm-hmm. Why not look for opportunities to actually be giving because you're always sitting in the chair? But do you see how these skills over a chair, what might appear to be a silly chair, we can then apply later in our lives? And I think for the folks out there listening to this podcast, the opportunity is to really reconnect to, where did you first learn to negotiate? Where did you first learn to ask questions? Where did you first learn to fight, if you will, or argue, or ask questions to enroll people or inspire people to have them move from point A to point B, right?
Mm.
Because that may if you can reconnect to that, that may lead you to why you're producing the results that you're producing today.
Right.
Numerous studies show that, again, our relationships with our siblings not only determines how we relate to the world and the choices we make, but has a significant impact on our health and our well-being. And for those of you who are up for big things in life, you're up to doing big things. You're up to taking a service trip with 23 people to Haiti later this month and raising $25,000. And Sam, we're $500. We're $500 away, and we have an event March 8th this Thursday.
Come on, people. Open your pocketbooks.
Yes. Email me at CoachNick@CoachNick, and I will send you the Everyday Hero link so that you can donate. It's a 501c3. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, 501c3.
Hearts in Haiti School. Anyhow, if you're up for big things in the world, you need your health and you need your well-being. You need your resiliency, which is where you get your you know, resiliency comes from being healthy and having a high degree of well-being.
Right.
This relationship is really, really key. Let me share with you one last study, Sam, that was from a Dr. Jenna McNally. And she did a study of 300 adult siblings across the U.S., and found that siblings use 5 different types of behavior to maintain and to build strong relationships. Now, what's interesting is these five types of behaviors were originally applied to understanding and maintaining strong romantic relationships.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So again, we're talking about sibling relationships, and you can apply this and map this on everywhere at home, in your romantic relationships, with your kids, with your coworkers, with folks who work for you, your clients, etc. So the five things that Dr. Jenna McNally found, that, or five behaviors that maintain a strong relationship, are as follows. Positivity is number one, which is all about being optimistic and being a cheerful person to be around. And so one of the things to think about, are you a person that's enjoyable to be around, actually? So again, you can learn that through your sibling relationship. Right. Am I somebody who sets the weather called sunshine, or am I the person who sets the weather called doom and gloom? That will make a difference at home and at work. The second behavior that she found that siblings use to create or to strengthen their relationship is openness. And being open means sharing what is actually going on in your life. Sharing honestly and vulnerably. Being open includes leaving yourself open to somebody disagreeing.
Right.
It even means leaving yourself open to being judged. But when you're open in your relationship with your sibling, like anywhere else, what that creates is a stronger connection. The third behavior that this study showed of what siblings use to strengthen their relationship is assurances. It's assuring your sibling that they mean something to you, that you care about them. In our men's group recently, we did an exercise where we actually called our siblings to tell them we love them. And it was fascinating. It was a fascinating exercise because many of us had a similar experience called, you know, I interact with my sibling all the time. We do a lot of things. But how often or ever do I actually use those three words and really assure them of what they mean to me, what they mean to my family or to my kids or whomever else? A fourth way that siblings maintain a strong relationship is through social networks, meaning it's about finding ways to have overlapping circles of friends and family. Overlapping your social circles allows you actually to spend more time together because then you do more things together, right? And then the fifth of the five would be sharing tasks. And what that means, or what they're sharing, is we share tasks. Like, you have two siblings. And your mom's still with us?
My mom's still alive. And she's in Israel with my sister.
So she's older, obviously, right?
Yes.
How old is she, Sam?
98.
Love it. God bless. My mom is 87. And so as parents get older, we have to make decisions.
Yeah.
Decisions about where they're going to live.
My sister just came here, and we cleaned out her apartment together to finally sell her old apartment. She finally agreed to let us sell her old apartment.
So that's what I mean by sharing tasks, is being in those kinds of conversations rather than you handle it, I'm not handling, or disconnecting from it altogether. Mm-hmm. So those are five ways that siblings can use to strengthen their relationship. And guess what? Those are five ways that you can really map on to everywhere else in your life.
Right.
So before parting shots, Sam, let me just a couple of shout-outs here. You can check out the Due to Disruption on social media. On Facebook, Due to Disruption, please like our page. On Twitter, you can follow Due to Disruption at DOD Talk Radio. If you want to know more about our men's group or our social action political group called Cocktails with Conviction, you can email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. If you're interested in one-on-one coaching, please email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. And if you do want to get on the journey with us around this Haiti trip, and a way to do that is to donate. We are raising $25,000 to build a new library and for scholarships. 23 of us are going down to Haiti later this month. We also have a fundraiser out in Long Island, New York, this Thursday, March 8th. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. I will send you the link, the Everyday Hero link, for you to donate. So, Sam, parting shot, what say you?
So one thing I want to say is that relationships with siblings can be very complex depending upon the family structure.
Yes.
Because things are not always the same. It's not just two parents and one or two or three kids, but a child like my older brother is from a prior marriage of my father's.
Right.
You know, there could be, you know, two parents each have kids, they come together, and it can be a mix of things. So it's not always so simple, and we live in such a complex world that it's helpful to just keep in mind that, you know, things can be a little more complex than just the simple, normal nuclear family.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is to be aware of.
Right.
Which is really what our show is about disrupting the automatic and being awakened to the fact that there is a complexity in your right. case. You can really make a case, it's always complex, it's always unique, right? And yes, right. like in your case, right, there's even a little extra, a little.
And in my wife's case, she has two older brothers and an older sister. The two older siblings are from one marriage of her mother's, and the next oldest is from a different marriage.
Yep. And so my parting shot would be just to build and expand on what you just said is that, and I've said this before in a previous episode, relationships are messy.
Yeah.
And sibling relationships in particular are messy. And in the messiness, we can learn. Yeah. Our siblings, as I've been saying during this episode, is one of our deepest, one of our oldest, if not our oldest, aside from our parents or our guardian, and most precious relationships, especially as we go through the journey of life, which includes the celebrations, the deaths, the promotions, the birth of our kids, the setbacks at work, aging, our health, etc., right? They're part of that journey all along, regardless if they're physically there or not. So having an infrastructure of support, specifically having a strong sibling relationship, allows you and gives you access to being resilient. And you need resiliency in order to travel through this journey successfully and to travel through this journey with some joy so that you can travel through the many relationships, through the many ups and downs with the strength, with the energy. Resiliency allows you to maintain your level of creativity and your level of energy that's necessary to be unstoppable in the world, both at home, in your community, and at work. Your sibling is the key to your resiliency. Stop taking it for granted and start being and sharing with them differently. Call them and say, I love you now. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You can catch our podcast, Dudes of Disruption, on iTunes and on Podomatic. If you want more information about anything that I discussed today or for coaching, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We end every episode with a Dr. Seuss quote, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile, big smile, because it happened."